a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus, you're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
What did you people do? What did you people do? I'm not responsible for Robert having a bad Christmas. Neither are the nurses that take his blood pressure. Happy Saturday, Robert.
Happy Saturday to you.
Can't have a show without the stand.
I was going to say, just getting that out right out of the gate.
How you doing, sir?
Not too bad. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Are you ready for Christmas?
I think so. I think we're going to have snow on Christmas here, actually. So.
Oh, yeah. My Christmas.
Yeah. So,
you look so festive.
Well, it is the holidays. I'm wearing my Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 1 shirt.
Oh,
as
so
one
great.
Does, you know.
So great. I wanted to ask you if you have watched Silent Night, Deadly Night this year. Like, is that something you do every year?
I don't every year. I feel like I should. Alamo had a showing, a double feature of 1 and 2 that started at 10 p.m. And I'm like, I'm not staying up till 1 in the morning.
That's late.
Movies that I already have, but you know.
Yeah. Is that to weed out like kids going in or something?
I don't know. The thing is, like, these are really made for nostalgia. And if that's the case, they need to be starting this at 5 o'clock.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
You know, for these, there's something else that they're showing at 10. I was like, I don't think they understand their demographic here. You know, we want the matinee. We want to get this over with and then go to bed.
That's the point.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and then you got me thinking because I came across something that talking about Jaws the Revenge is technically a Christmas movie.
Technically it is, yes.
And that's when then I came across the Bahamas incident where a woman got killed by a shark. And I was like, oh, it's all true.
Ellen Brody and Hoagie are down there.
Yeah, they knew it.
They knew it. Oh, poor... Poor Ellen Brody. She was just trying to get away.
She was trying.
And Hoagie is still Michael Caine's character. I mean, the fact his name is Hoagie is still number one.
Yes.
By the way, Robert got me that book and I've read it and it's fantastic. It's the making, it's, you know, kind of behind the scenes of Jaws 4. And that, do you think Jaws 4 is more loved now than 3? Because I hear... more and more about 4 in the last like 2 years or so.
The thing is, it's kind of, it's like an incredulous movie that people can't quite believe that this is a thing, you know?
Right. Right.
But, and then, it's now it's kind of known for those. I mean, people have done this freeze frames on the effects, and it's just, it's quite obviously a model and it's just, it's a mess. Yeah. And
it
so
is a mess.
People like to make fun of it. Jaws 3, I think. It was kitschy enough that it's kind of its own thing, and it's not necessarily so bad it's good. Jaws 87 is kind of a it's so bad it's boring type.
Yeah, Jaws 87 is a really tough watch, but once in a while you have to do it.
Yes, absolutely.
I do like Jaws 3 a lot. I mean, I understand it's a bad movie, but it's such a fun ride.
They all have their little thing, you know.
They do. You're listening to the podcast called Set Jetter Saturdays with Robert Patterson. Check him out, of course, on social media at @set_jetter on Instagram and his website at setjetter.com. We're going to start off tonight's show with what you've been watching, and let's just do a bipartisan first joint entry here. We both watched Santa Claus, the movie.
Well, I knew you were watching it, and I thought, I better give this a rewatch. So I just kind of, and look what I dug out. It's the novelization of Santa Claus the movie, which
Christmas
I've never
is the
read.
Greatest days.
The binder has Christmas never been times. Broken.
Wow, good. No, you should keep it. You can take good care of that.
Yeah, it is good. It's all
thank you, Santa.
It's glittery, and if you see a little thing, it is elf made. It has a little elf made insignia.
Oh, so cool. What a
it's
nice
authentic.
Touch.
Yeah, they spared no expense.
Spared no expense.
So, tell me, Santa Claus the movie. What'd you think?
I enjoyed it very much, and I will keep it in my yearly rotation in Christmas films.
Well, good.
I understand everything you said about it, can't look away. they do take the film too seriously, I think, for what it is. But there's these moments in there that I just love where you knew they were going to happen and they were shameless enough to do it and you appreciated it. Like when he goes, make the list. I'll check it twice. Or I'm checking it twice. And you're like, of course he's checking it twice. He's Santa. Burgess Meredith in there?
Yeah, there's these nice little cameos. The thing is, it was set up almost in the same kind of multi-act as Superman the movie, where he's like origin and then the big city and then this, and then you had the unknown, you know, Christopher Reeve or the guy playing Santa this time. And then you have kind of a more known actor, you know, Gene Hackman versus, you know, John Lithgow and so forth. And as kind of Lex Luthor. So it was kind of set up to kind of follow
good
the same
point.
Beats,
it is a lot of parallels.
But, it's just it does make you want McDonald's.
I did. What do you make about the kids acting in New York?
They did their best.
That was kind of tough sometimes where he's the police car is going by and he's hiding against the wall. It's like, it is New York. You can just blend in, kid.
Yeah. It is, well, you know, yeah.
Obviously, they didn't film in New York, right?
No. That was all big set, you know. I do say, they spared no expense. They really did spend a lot. This movie. And some of the effects are decent enough. And they were actually trained some reindeer to kind of do that. So it's kind of, you know, good for them.
Very catchy music too.
I should say original. Dudley Moore is actually the name actor that I think he was attached to the film first and then as Patch. And the thing, how long did the movie actually feel to you though?
It felt long.
Yeah. And it's
did.
Like,
it did not, like not in an excruciating way, but I felt like it was maybe a half an hour too long.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's like an hour 45 or something. It is.
It's only an hour 45.
That's the thing. Let me look.
It felt like 3 hours, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Hour 48. So, but it feels like a 2.5 hour movie.
It did. It really did.
There's something to it. And I'm always kind of like, why is this going on so long? And it's like, it really is not. It's just kind of, it's a go to sleep.
Pacing
movie.
Slow.
Yeah.
Credits to the music though. It was very catchy. For better or for worse, the thank you Santa and the kids and I will watch it again for sure, and I'm glad that you introduced it to me. Never seen it.
My friends still pain my existence to this day, like stop talking about. I used to make them watch it every year too.
Oh, you gotta watch it.
Yeah, and it would just go on, and I would just, you feel like you would never get out of the origin story, and it was just
I do appreciate the origin story, but I felt like it could have been sped up a little bit.
Yeah. And I noticed, I'm like, they repeated some things in the new Wonka, you know. It was the original Wonka, too, where, you know, the candy makes people fly. And
right. Yeah, they did. Right. Yeah.
So maybe that'll be next.
Timothy Chalamet.
Yes. But now I'm thinking Timothy Chalamet and Santa Claus, the movie, the remake.
I will watch it. By the way, anybody I've spoken to that saw Wonka said they really loved it and it was great, same as you did. I'm going to have to see it now. Apparently, it really is like a solid film.
It's solid enough, you know. It's like compared to some of the droll that we've been given.
There's been some droll.
And people, I know the backlash comes like, it's inoffensive. It's not offensive, or you know, that's probably the wrong word, but you know, like, Gene Wilder's take on it was kind of a dark and, you know, and yeah, that's part of the book too, but that's not what this film is about. So they think, a lot of people are saying this film's too safe, but I'm like, we can have some nice family films, for lack of a better word.
Sometimes it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I'll finish what I've been watching if you'd like.
Absolutely. Go.
So A Christmas Carol 2009 with Jim Carrey.
Oh yeah. Wait, is this the CGI-ish one or is it?
It is.
Okay, gotcha.
Much better CGI than Polar Express. They Robert Zemeckis did it. It was much more honed in than 2004.
Gotcha.
And if you've read the book, which I'm sure you have, it's, I think, the most faithful to the book version of A Christmas Carol there is. They really throw in a lot of stuff that the other versions kind of gloss over for pacing and whatnot. And it's pretty dark and scary for a Disney movie, yeah. Which I give him credit for taking those kind of risks.
As Christmas movies should be.
Should be dark and scary.
Dark and scary. That's the
There's
whole
There's more crazy than grave yes. new. Catch Me If You Can, which does have a lot of Christmas elements in it, if you remember.
Yeah. I feel like that guy's been more on the news, too, about how much of that was actually he lied about his lies.
And maybe is he
just,
really?
Yeah, just maybe it's showing up on my YouTube algorithms or something like that. But it was like, he lied about his lies. I'm like, well, I guess we shouldn't be surprised.
Shouldn't be surprised. And yeah. that would act. I have to read it. I haven't read anything, but that would make sense because out of all the things he's did, the airline pilot, I mean, even for the 60s, that's pretty outrageous to think you could be yeah. in the cockpit, even though you're not flying it, without other pilots picking up on something being wrong. Like one, mm-hmm. you're 17, two yeah. is you don't know what the hell you're talking about. That always stood out to me as like, how did he really do that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always thought like maybe he did it one time and that was it, yeah. but
or
I'm going to have to research that. And that's interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, it's funny that you've watched that. I've just been getting a little bit more pieces about that. So
interesting. Interesting. I finished the final season of The Crown, which I really think they did a good job.
Gotcha. Okay. Does this go all the way to her death, I assume, or?
It goes past the death okay. up until it ends when Prince Charles coincides with his getting married to Camilla. So that's what, 2004, 2005? So it's early, mid-aughts, it ends.
Gotcha.
And they did a good job of giving people what they want in terms of if you yeah. care about the royal family for the yeah. gossip and Harry and all that, it's in there. But if you're like me and you don't care about any of that and you just like the history, they really amped that up. And it was a very nice send-off to what I thought was a really, really great show.
Well, good. I watched bits and pieces. I watched a couple episodes of the Diana just to kind of see how they did that.
The 6'8" actress.
Yeah, yes.
She's massive. Well,
but Diana was also kind of tall and lanky. I felt like she was always kind of, yeah. when she was probably always in heels and she was always literally leaning over and bending down to talk to people.
Oh, yeah, she is. You're right. Yeah. She's always yeah. kind of
yeah.
leaning in. But the Crown I thought was very good. And I rewatched Taken, Behind Enemy Lines, which is a true Matthew movie.
Yes.
Have you seen Behind Enemy Lines?
I don't think I have, no.
But I think it's Owen Wilson's only... It was his first serious role, at least until Midnight in Paris. It's an action movie, shot down in Kosovo. Gene Hackman's in it. Pretty good. I thought it was pretty good. I watched 1951 Scrooge. Or Christmas Carol, depending on which side okay. of the pond you're in, which I still maintain Alistair yeah. Sim is the best Scrooge there.
I was going to say, where does this light? Is this your go-to Scrooge?
I think so.
Yeah.
He just feels English and grumpy and like no more bread. And you're like, yeah, he doesn't want to buy bread because it's yeah. an extra shilling or whatever. And finally, I watched The Hunt for Red October again last night, which... Oh. Sam Neill and Tim Curry, after you watch that, you realize, how great of actors they are with other films. But when you watch that, they really bring the range. Like Tim Curry, I always picture as more of a comedic actor, but he's very serious and heroic in this. And I wanted more out of the two of them, more than I wanted from Sean Connery or Alec Baldwin. This is a good movie.
And I think your cat was watching it with you, I saw.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Meredith the cat was watching. And she watches for long chunks of time.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's just watching colors on a screen, but
yeah.
it's funny. Yeah.
She was like,
I saw that.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to see what this is about. But yeah.
It's going to let you down, Robert. I don't think you'll like it. Or maybe you would.
I don't know. Yeah, probably not.
No. What about you, though? What have you been watching besides Santa Claus?
Besides Santa Claus, Oblivion, which is now 10 years old, and yeah. I have not watched since the theater. And for some reason, I was updating my TV, and that popped up as recommended. And I'm like, well, let's see how it looks.
How does it hold up?
It actually holds up pretty well, and it's probably good that it's been 10 years, because I couldn't quite remember. I remember pieces as it was going so long. One, it looks fantastic. I don't know if it's in the new OLED or HD, but I was this is why. I remember kind of liking it in the theater. It's one of those, you know, when you kind of begrudgingly like Tom Cruise movies.
I do.
Yeah, and this is kind of one of those. I'm like, okay, they did a good job, and I remember something. It had a good ending. It had I guess the final line of the film is one of my favorites that can't be repeated on the air. But
I don't remember the final line. I have to rewatch it. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's kind of a spoiler, so I don't know.
Okay.
But I don't know. It's Tom Cruise's final line, so I won't share it here for anybody that wants to kind of relive Oblivion. So, I had some credits that I needed to use on Amazon Prime, so I was renting some stuff. So one of those was A Disturbance in the Force. And this is all
Star Wars-y.
It is Star Wars-y. This is all kind of the behind the scenes and people's recollections on the Star Wars holiday special. So they have interviews.
Which I've seen.
Yes, they have interviews that were people that were involved, as well as current actors and creators kind of talking about it now. It's probably not worth a rental, but it is worth taking a look at. So, and I was
A Disturbance in the Force.
Yes, I was excited because I didn't look about anything beyond this. And they have everybody from Seth Green to Donny Osmond to Weird Al Yankovic, Kevin Smith, Gilbert Gottfried. But my favorite person that showed up was Bobcat Goldthwait, only because I just saw him in the Police Academy movies, and I was like, I was kind of curious.
We just talked about
like
that
now, and you know, he's just like this older guy, looks like a cabin in the woods, you know, enjoying his life, and I'm like, and he talks normally, you know. I still want to like,
I can't picture him talking normally.
I know, that's the weird thing.
I just can't. Like
he should just always kind of talk that way. So, if you're a casual Star Wars fan, it's probably worth. There's nothing too new that. You know, if you've kind of delved into the background of the Star Wars holiday special, but if not, it is probably worth it. So, I also rented Saw X because I didn't see it in its original run, but I heard it got good reviews, and for some people, they thought
Saw X
the 10th Saw that thought that was kind of a good one.
Whew, that bad, really.
Well, the first, and I was watching it with my sister.
How many can you do of these fucking movies?
Well, there's like the first 20 minutes, I was like, if I did not see Saw X title show up and Tobin, I was like, is this a Saw movie? It does not feel like a Saw movie for those 30 minutes. And we were both like, what is going on? You know, like we're all for slow, but it took a while to finally get going. And then it kind of felt very almost COVID-ish, because then once it does get going, everything takes place in the same area, you know, for the last half of the movie, you know, like. To me, it always it feels COVID, because like we need less people in one set and, you know.
You can tell.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, because I saw the first three in the theaters and then I kind of like fell off. I moved and like whatever. Not that that's anything to do with going to the movies, but I just
and
like
then I stopped. For
whatever reason, I lost interest. Yeah. So did Tobin Bell like come back at some
this
point?
This takes place between Saw 2 and 3.
It does. Okay. Yeah.
So,
but is Tobin Bell in there like de-aged, or is he just is he in
they
there?
They did not de-age him. So if you really can compare, you'll be like, yeah, he's. But I'm also. No. Find that they didn't de-age him, you know, because I'm like, it would just be and be expensive.
No, more props if you don't play that game.
Put Shawnee Smith in a horrible wig, short wig, for no reason. I was like, I don't know what they were doing there, but it was.
Do that to her.
Yeah, like she deserves better than that. So
she's Julie Lowry from The Stand.
Yeah. They could have brought her back for The Stand 2.0.
So was she a main character in
Saw X? Okay. Yeah, she didn't show up until the latter half, and it was supposed to be a surprise. And like, well, it was in all the trailers, you know, like, so.
And you didn't like it. That's disappointing.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, and the thing is, it got good reviews because, and I kind of get it because it's probably the same reason people like didn't like Halloween Ends. So like, it wasn't a Saw movie, you know, it wasn't a Halloween movie, you know, like, this wasn't a Saw movie. I'm like, well, it kind of was, you know, but
yeah,
I don't know.
You've seen all of the Saws, I imagine.
I have. So 2 through 4 are my favorite. 2, 3, 4. Those are the ones that, and then they started going a little bit off the rails for me. And then I hated Spiral from the book.
You've
the book
talked
of
about
Saw.
That
yeah.
in the past, I think.
Yeah.
Not
Jigsaw.
Good.
Yeah, Jigsaw was fine, you know, but
yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, so.
Jigsaw is part of the, it's like Saw 8 or something.
I think they all count this as part of the.
Okay.
Saw movies or however they kind of work it out. But anyway, so if you have
revolutionary
a on Netflix, yeah.
Franchise.
You can
I
start
mean,
the movie.
That idea, that first one blew you away.
Start the movie, fold some laundry, come back to it, change the laundry, come back to it, you're fine. Yeah.
Come back.
Yeah, you're fine.
Put in some fabric softener.
Yeah, do what you have to do.
Whatever it takes.
Don't pause it if you're going to the bathroom. It doesn't matter.
That's the true indicator. If you're watching a movie with someone and they go to the restroom, and they're like, do you want me to pause it? And they go, no, it's okay. You're like,
all right. All right.
Yeah,
done.
I get it.
Yeah. You can even fast forward a little bit while I'm going.
Isn't that the true indicator, though?
Yeah.
When somebody's like, oh, pause it. No. You're like, oh, I will.
Okay.
I will.
I don't want to miss the thing. Right. And finally, I put my time in and I watched Dr. Death season 2.
The whole thing?
Yes. Now, I'm a big fan of Dr. Death season 1.
Really?
It's kind of like American Crime Story where they pick a different doctor to focus on, a real life doctor and so forth. So Dr. Death season 1 with Josh Jackson is one of my favorites. I don't know if you watched that or not, but
no, I
highly recommend it.
Now.
So
yeah.
So season 2 is, I think it's also 8 episodes. It goes on, it is way too bloated. And it's not entertaining.
Really?
Yeah. So it's based on a real life, you know, doctor that is not good, surprisingly. And, you know, the first hour, you know, concentrates on Mandy Moore. And it really does feel like a Lifetime movie of her. She's, you know, a busy New York woman and doing a story on this doctor. But her husband's died and she's raising a daughter on her own. You know, like. And
oh, it's really?
Like, yeah, and it goes, come on. And then it doesn't kick into gear until like the 4th episode where they're like, wait a second. And we're like, come on. You're like,
hold on.
It's called Dr. Death. We shouldn't be surprised, you know.
Right.
Yeah, we shouldn't have to wait through 3 hours of backstory. So I think
Dr. Death.
They left no stone unturned.
How did you watch it all in one sitting?
No. And then literally I started doing other things. And my sister actually started it. She turned it off during the first episode because she thought this is BS. So,
oh, really? She was not having it.
Yeah, we were both fans of the first Dr. Death. But I was like...
Would you recommend to somebody that hasn't watched it to skip season 2? I mean, is it like that bad? Really?
It's just season 1 is fantastic and it's kind of... And it's just surreal that I've talked about this before, that if you watch the fictionalized version and you're like, that is too crazy. And then you watch a real documentary, you're like, oh, they toned it down a bit. Yeah. So
really?
Yeah. So
that's super disturbing.
Yeah. But
anyway, they're doing their job right.
But I did my time. I watched all of it.
You put in your time. I like
I put
that.
In my time. So,
so but avoid Dr. Death season 2.
Yeah. So,
yeah. Is, each episode unrelated to the other episodes?
No, and it's kind of linear. They keep putting the dates and they put what country it is, like Stockholm 2012. I'm like, are we going back in time or are we just moving forward? Because they kept saying 2012. I'm like, I couldn't tell what they were doing, but yeah. It's like
kind of like
a multi-part Grey's Anatomy.
Which does not sound good at all, but
no.
If you recommend this first season, I'll check it out for sure.
Yes.
It's on Peacock, right?
Yes, season 1 for sure.
Oh, okay, cool. All right, cool. So that's what you've been watching. I wanted to bring up this article I read today, Robert, because you and I, this is on joblo.com. Physical media matters. I don't know if we've spoken about this, but Christopher Nolan mentioned recently how important it is to have physical media because, you know, things go out of, stop streaming. And if you physically owned a copy of something like Batman versus Superman and the director's cut's re-released or whatever, your copy might disappear and change. Mm-hmm. Whatever the reason is, it's always important to have a Blu-ray or 4K or whatever physically, because we've spoken about, we like tangible things.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought that was really cool that I read in this article. It's on joblo.com, as I mentioned. Apparently, Blu-ray purchases are like on the uptick. People are doing them. And Christopher Nolan came out recently. And the example that they gave in the article was Cocoon. As at a time of print, maybe like a week ago, you couldn't get digitally anywhere. And I know this because my buddy, it's his favorite movie. And he told me, he's like, you know, I have the DVD, of course, but you can't watch it. And I feel like that's a scary kind of thing.
Yeah. And that's for
you know, yeah. Like, where do they go?
And I think I should say Star Wars fans learned their lesson of like, buy it up because you can never buy the original versions again.
They mentioned that as the most infamous example, Robert. Good call.
And there's a couple that I was like, I have random ones like American Dreamer and Places in the Heart came out in Blu-ray, limited edition, gone. And now if you want to spend $100 to get, it's like, well, I don't like it that much, but there's no other way to see it.
Basketball Diaries is another one.
Yeah. That's why, you know, that's why you have Santa Claus the movie. Like, you hold on to those precious things.
I see both sides of the coin. Obviously, streaming is our preferred. It's mm-hmm. the easiest. Touch a button and it comes to life, like, of course. But based on the article, it gives another layer of, not only is it nice to have 4Ks and physical media, but, you know, that Freevee account or Vudu or whatever you get your stuff on, that could be purchased up and rights could be gone.
Yeah. Oh,
and the thing holding up Cocoon was some of the songs like changed licensing.
Yeah.
I mean, the movie's 40 years old, like, but there's, you know, obviously that's, things can still hold up the show.
Yeah. Well,
so it's always important, kids, to get that DVD.
Let's take Alias, the TV series. It's streaming, but some of it's streaming with different music. And my sister is like, nope, I don't want, she even remembers like if it's the wrong song.
Good for her.
And I think that's why Buffy and some stuff like that. That's why I'm like, that's why I'm surprised some of those original DVDs are becoming pricey because you can't get it anywhere else. Or you can't get it with the original versions or if there's something kind of different about it or they made it a cut or something like that. So I remember when I have a whole special media closet, you know, and I remember one of my friends is like, oh, you still have Blu-rays? And I'm like, yeah, I didn't even show you my Laserdisc section. But part of me is like, she goes, because she just says, oh, everything's streaming now. And I was like, well, and I was going to get to the story. Well, no, but.
Looking at you, calendar girl.
Yeah.
By the way, the Laserdisc was the reference they made for the original Star Wars before the prequels. They're like the only way to really see those now is Laserdisc. And to your sister's point, I couldn't agree more. There are so many things with licensing that can change and that can hold up the whole show. So it's super important to do that. Which brings me to my next topic here. And I've been thinking about this all week. I've been really spending too much time on this, but I have to ask you, do you remember the movie Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves?
Is that the Kevin Costner?
It sure is.
I remember the poster.
Okay. Do you remember? You have to have remembered. Everything I do it for you.
Yes.
Do you remember the music video for it?
No.
Okay. Well, the music video was Bryan Adams on the shoals of English shore somewhere, interspersed with clips of the movie. And then the band was playing in Sherwood Forest, like it was a place in England. Well, this was on like MTV every day. I remember watching it as a kid. I had the action figures. I saw the movie like four times in the theater. I love this music video. Doesn't exist anymore. I can't find it anywhere. Not on YouTube. Not on like, I was on some pretty sketchy Czech Republic sites looking for this thing.
Did Kevin finally gone?
I don't know. But I'm like, did I imagine this? So I started like looking around, and somebody posted a video saying the Mandela effect. Did this music video actually exist? I'm like, it absolutely did. I remember Bryan Adams was the first time I ever seen him.
Yeah.
He had the coat on. He was doing this. So it does exist. And you can see the video on the VHS at the end of the movie. They play it in the credits. So this guy posted it and was like, it does exist. I was looking for it. I found it. But to this day, nobody can find this video. And even if you go to the Wikipedia page, it says the video was this and this. Like they confirm existing.
Yeah.
But I guess when like Morgan Creek sold the company, the rights like disappeared and it's gone. I find it so hard to believe the song was redone, the video too, by Bryan Adams. Like he's part of like the distribution of the disappearance. My 2024 goal is to find this song video. And I think I have it on tape and I got to go through my parents' attic.
Get out your VHS tapes to see.
I'm make doing sure
it still exists. So,
Robert, you have to remember this video.
I vaguely, because this was 91, I think, or something like that. So
it was 91, baby.
Yeah. So because I remember I was in college, and I remember I was anti Kevin Costner because Madonna and Truth or Dare, because he called her show neat, and anyone that calls her show neat has to go.
He called her show neat.
Yeah, they have this behind the scenes in Truth or Dare where he's like, "Yeah, we can't stay for the after other thing, but thanks. It was really neat." And Madonna's like, "Neat?
That's not a cool."
I've never heard it quite described that way. She goes, "All right, thanks, bye bye bye." And then as they leave, she goes, "Anyone who calls my show neat has to go."
Yeah, come on, don't say neat.
Yeah, but I know years later, Kevin was at another Madonna show, and she called him out in the audience and forgave him. Because I think Kevin was there with
good sport
and stuff like that. So here's the thing. Madonna's, you know, because people, you know, Elton John has trashed her and, you know, whatever. She is always.
Elton John trashed Madonna?
Oh, my God. Yeah. So
for what reason?
Oh, for lip syncing and for this and that or whatever. Yeah, he's trashed her kind of several times. Boy George does whatever. And then
I don't think Boy George isn't the same. Elton John is up there. Yeah. Boy George is not up there.
The thing is, no like, offense, she just, you know, club. Madonna actually goes above and is like, just moves above that a little bit. So, but yeah, I just remember that time. I was like, well, I can't like Kevin Costner either. Forgive him for Waterworld, which is still going at Universal Studios.
A bomb. It just didn't make as much as they anticipated.
Yeah. But I was like, why do we have, you know, and the Waterworld show is great, you know, but I was like, why do they hold on to that? But they just destroy E.T. the ride and create that horrible Fast and Furious. You know, like, just like, why is this one that they hold on
to? Please don't do that.
I know.
Well, I hopefully Vin Diesel is getting canceled now.
It looks hopefully like he may be. I don't know. But
he should. Not because he sexually assaulted. If he did, he absolutely should. But because he sucks anyway. Like, he's the luckiest guy in the world. Like, really? That guy's a movie star?
By accident.
Come on.
Yeah.
But just to wrap up the Bryan Adams thing, guess who's seeing Bryan Adams in Anaheim next month?
Who?
And I'm going to find a way to ask about this video because it needs to be, the world needs it. Robert.
What if they show it? What if a concert opens up with that?
We're going to find you, Bryan Adams. Everything I do, I do it for you.
High demand. We are showing this only to this audience.
I'm upset that Kevin Anaheim, where the Mighty Ducks play. I don't remember the name of the place, but it's on the 28th. So I'm really excited. It's a Sunday night, which I love Sunday night concerts. I don't know why. Like, traffic's less.
Yeah.
It's like a nice end burst to the weekend. Some people hate them because like it's Sunday, but I'm like, Sundays are always depressing. What better way to kill it than go to a concert?
I'm asking because I was looking actually because when Madonna's going to be there, she's going to be playing the Forum. I'm like, ugh. I was like, it's
the
too
Forum
hard to,
in Inglewood. Yeah.
And for one night back and forth, it's fine. But I think I'm doing three shows. I was like, do I need to stay near Inglewood?
No, you don't. I would make that trip not to stay there.
And I was like, but also Burbank, I mean, that's an hour. You know what I mean? Like,
that's a hike.
Plus, and I was just like, I don't know if I'm going to keep going back and forth. And plus, knowing that she goes till She, I mean, she's always 2+ hours late. So I was like, yeah. I don't know.
But you know, you'd be okay staying there, obviously. It would be like staying at an airport hotel, probably.
Yeah. I might do like a higher end airport hotel.
For yeah. Something that you can. That's a good point, though. I probably would stay locally there.
Yeah, because one show is fine.
What are the dates?
I don't even know.
I mean, like, but January?
It's February or March, I think. So okay. One of those. Yeah. So I think I'm doing three LA shows, two Seattle shows, and one Vancouver at this point.
Ooh.
I feel like the only person that has not seen the new Madonna tour at this point, but that's okay.
Oh, no. You're going to make it up in the back end. That's how it works.
We shall see. So, yeah. But anyway.
Anyway, we got a super exciting, sexy segment. Robert's Vault has returned with Psycho.
Well, I was thinking, I was like, oh, what's a December movie? And what movie takes place in December? But the original Psycho. December, I think, 11th or 12th it starts on. So,
Which I just need to say, you have a great page for on setjetter.com.
Yep. So Psycho 1, 2, 3, and Psycho 98. I kind of skipped over Psycho 4.
I think you made up for it though with such great pages.
And then I need to do a proper Bates Motel. Well, we did Bates Motel, the original TV pilot.
Indeed.
And I've been to Bates Motel, the newer TV series up in Vancouver. I haven't made a true page for that. Yeah. So, Vancouver people are so nice. I remember the first time I was going out there, I was like, is there any way you can get into the hotel? And they actually wrote back and they said, oh, well, we'll be on hiatus, but otherwise, sorry, we can't help you. And like, I think that like if they would have been in town, I think they would have actually let me go into the motel and stuff like that. But that first time I went, they had built all the Psycho house except for that top kind of turret window. And I was like, why? And it was CGI'd for the first season for some reason.
Psycho. It's what's for breakfast.
I never heard of it. Is this a new film?
I do love Psycho, though. I really do. And what kind of things do you have?
I have all sorts of, because I was like, okay, let me drag some stuff out. And I kept thinking, I was like, I'd find something. I'm like, oh, I also have this, and I also have that. So also what got me thinking of it, and hopefully my cord will reach here, is that I just got a new book. And if you bear with me one moment.
A new book.
The Oh Mother, What Have You Done? The Making of Psycho 2 by Tom Holland.
There it is.
And it was pricey. And for what you get for the price, it's probably not, you know, it's a lot of pictures. But they do have
worth it.
Different transcripts and some call sheets and production budget and stuff like that. So I was like, but for a big Psycho 2 fan, this is
probably you gotta have
worth it. So, and of course it's signed by Tom Holland. So,
oh, so cool.
Can't go wrong there.
That's the real signature, folks.
That is so. This is actually Psycho 2, the novel, not the novelization, because this was released shortly before, and it has one of those little windows where you open it up and you can see through it.
I love those. You don't see those as much anymore.
No. Yep. So Robert Bloch did a so the. This his follow-up has nothing to do with the movies and so forth, but so I do have that as well.
That is so cool that you have
and that. And then I picked this up. So this is Psycho, Psycho 2, and Psycho House, all Robert Bloch films. It's all one big book. So
nice. That's really nice cover art.
Kind of had to have that as well. So
yeah.
And then of course this is kind of a all film lovers have The Making of Psycho. So
nice.
This is the a big book. Yeah. So yeah. I was kind of like, you know, you have like 200 some pages of The Making of Psycho. And in there, you Psycho 2, you have about 30. Yeah. Right. But, you know, it was a different, you know.
The insight, though, is so intriguing, I bet, just to be to see like what Hitchcock was saying and things like that and the process. That's so cool.
Yeah, and this was 1990 originally, so this was kind of before DVDs and kind of all the extras and stuff like that. So this is all we had, you know, it was kind of like to learn about The Making of Psycho, so.
Yeah.
Oh. So those are the books that I have, so.
That is so cool.
So being a Universal Studios fan, of course, I have many different versions of Bates Motel towels.
Oh, nice. Where did you get the Bates Motel towels?
So usually at Universal you can get them. And then then they became bloody Bates Motel towels.
Yes.
With little blood splatters. Bates Motel. I have Bates Motel slippers. let me see what else. So yeah, Universal used to have all sorts of stuff. Bates Motel mugs, and if this doesn't age you, Bates Motel ashtrays.
Yes, you don't see those anywhere.
Yeah, what are you supposed to do with those? So actually, one of my first, when I went to Bates Motel Universal in 1985, I remember I got some Bates Motel stuff, and including
1985.
Nice. Yeah. So
classics.
So if you need to put this up, you know, if you're in the shower, this is kind of for your door.
Yes.
A Bates Motel keychain and shower and soap and stuff like that.
Oh, cool. Is there really soap in there?
There's actually soap. It's really Bates Motel soap.
They spare no expense.
So this, I'm pretty sure I got on my first trip to Universal Studios, and it's Bates Motel Matchbox.
Oh, so cool that you held on to that.
I know.
They would never make anything like that today.
No, no. A friend did get to give me this teacup, which I think is really nice. It's like a Janet Lee teacup.
So great.
So when Bates Motel, the TV series, the new TV series came out, they started making stuff again. And so some Bates Motel nightlights and towels and soaps.
Oh, nice. What's the thing in your left hand?
This is like a nightlight.
Oh, wow.
So I have a couple of these.
That's
in my
cool.
bathroom. Yeah. I have multiple versions of a lot of these things. So.
Oh, that's so cool.
Let me see what else we
the
got.
Bates Motel. The Bates
Motel. I have three different kinds of Bates Motel shower curtains. So Psycho 98, I'm not going to pull all these out for you, but when Psycho 98 came out, this is what I have, another version up into a shower curtain in my current shower.
That's a shower curtain?
This is a big shower curtain.
Oh, that's cool.
And then Psycho 4, when that came out.
Which came out in what, 91?
91, yep. So Psycho 4 has a, you can kind of see Mother here.
Oh, that's the silhouette that you want.
Shower curtain. And then, of course, Bates Motel, the new TV series, also had its own kind of shower curtain as well. So. Not that you can see. Wow. There we go.
And it was 60 years ago, over 60 years that movie.
Yes. So
we're still, it's amazing.
This thing is really delicate, and I'm not sure how old it is. It came from Universal Studios.
Oh my gosh.
It's
a stolen prop from the
Bates Motel Party Pack. And if these have like little Bates Motel things you can stick
like
in cupcakes, yeah,
stirrers,
Bates Motel napkins, yeah, still in the bag.
They were $6 then.
Yeah, so
when did you get those? Like, what is the?
I got them on eBay a while ago. Really? So I'm not sure how old they are, but I was like, they seem pretty old. So I feel
pretty
like
cool.
I've never opened. I don't know if I'd ever open these and have a Bates Motel party.
No.
But
those are old because the packaging, the font, you can just tell.
Yeah, you can tell. It just looks old. So it seems.
Oh, you got to hold on to those.
It seems to be kind of old. So.
It seems to be kind of awesome.
It is. I recently got the Bates Motel guest book.
Is that a practical guest book?
It kind of is, where you can start to write in. Let me see. Only one page is practical.
Oh,
so if you want to write in your book, but then it's like one of those hidden books where there's a bunch of artwork postcards hidden inside. So you kind of have that.
This is a cool vault opening tonight, Robert. You have a lot of cool stuff. I knew you had a lot of Psycho stuff, but I didn't realize it was this extent.
I haven't even got to my favorite stuff yet. So
really?
Yep.
Those are just stuff that you have laying around.
Just now, Virgin, of my favorite stuff. So hold on one second.
By the way, some of that stuff that you showed is worth quite a pretty penny. I just Googled on eBay. It's
Is it?
It's valuable. Some of those soap bars are $40 alone with that pack. It's almost $90.
That's crazy. Those coasters. This is a model that I haven't put together yet, but I ordered a Bates House model. So,
like an actual glue model thing?
So this is on my to-do list on some point to kind of...
When did you get that?
Just a few weeks ago, actually. So I saw it, then I had to have it. So
Christmas with the cranks.
So I'm a big fan of Psycho 3. And so I happened to find this guy who has... This is the entire storyboard for the entire film of Psycho 3.
Oh, wow.
Every storyboard.
That is so cool. I'd be really interested in reading that.
Yeah. So, and it comes with a couple call sheets and so forth as well. So.
Oh, my gosh.
But
when was Psycho 3 released?
1986.
Wow.
So.
That's a cool. Let's see a picture.
Every scene.
Nice. Turns around. That's so cool.
So this is one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. How could it not be?
One of my other favorite Psycho 3 thing is so they're still doing matte paintings. So if you remember the beginning of Psycho 3, she's a nun in the beginning and she's going to throw herself over the tower. And so that's a partial matte painting. So this is the artist that did the test.
Oh, cool.
So this is an actual oil painting that he did to start some tests
of the matte painting.
For the mat, so, and it's signed by him. So
matte paintings were a big thing, folks. Oh yeah, kids. If you don't remember, they actually did a really good job in a lot of stuff.
Yeah. So, so actually, I wrote the guy. He's on Facebook. He's still alive, and asked him about this. And
Did he get back to you?
Yeah. So.
Oh, cool.
That's one of my favorite things.
Do you keep that somewhere where like it's hung up on display?
That's actually hung up on display. So.
Nice.
The next is
a museum, the Robert Museum of Film History.
This next is a prop from Bates Motel, the TV series, where somebody goes to prison and they drive by the sign.
Prison area. Oh, nice.
And it has a bunch of bullet holes in it. So
there's so many cool things going on with that. The bullet holes, wait, where did you get that?
So after Bates Motel went off the air, they sold a lot of the materials. So.
It looks like it's in really good shape.
Yeah, so
I mean, intentionally
it's big metal. And then finally, I don't know how this will show up. So this is Norman Bates' taxidermy stool from Bates Motel. So he sat on the stool in his basement while he did his taxidermy.
Where did you get that on eBay?
That came through
after
the series wrapped as well. So
how cool is that? Can you lift it up one more time? I can get a picture for my collection. Oh, that's so cool. Dude, that is awesome.
So this is actually
the taxidermy where he's sitting on. Yeah.
Yeah. So Freddie Highmore. So right there. So, and actually, I do have bits and pieces of other little things, but this is the stuff I could quickly find that I have.
You have more? You mean that's not enough?
There's more. I have the different little, because when they had like Bates Motel cards and Bates Motel like little prop things and and as you know, my bedroom.
I want to watch Psycho. You know what better way to bring in Christmas Eve than to watch Psycho 3?
It's a Christmas movie.
I only saw it once when I was younger and
Psycho 3.
Yeah, and I need to rewatch that. Psycho 2 I've seen a few times. Psycho the original I've seen a million. Unfortunately, I've seen Psycho 98 a lot.
Oh.
Yeah.
I used to like
that movie when I was a teenager. We used to watch that at parties, believe it or not. Like, it was a big deal. Like, somebody has Psycho, let's watch it.
Do you know what I want from that film that somebody has, because it's on yourprops.com, is somebody has the shower curtains used in that movie from Psycho 98. I was like,
really?
I'd love to have those. Yeah.
That's something to have.
That I would like to have, so.
Especially since we lost Anne.
I know. She was ripping those curtains, but.
That's so cool. Your stuff is amazing. That really was. That was a fantastic Robert's vault.
Well, thank you. I didn't realize how much I had still.
Do you think you're going to add Psycho props?
I do keep a lookout for stuff. Now
you
do. I do.
Okay, good.
Yeah, and I think I've talked about this before. I did have, I did meet Janet Leigh, and I did have a signed poster from her that was destroyed in a fire. But yeah, so, but that was probably would have been my one of my most precious items if I still had it. But that was destroyed. But it was a good memory, you know. Obviously, it was 25 or something.
Seeing so like 3 years ago.
Yeah, three years ago. Watching Psycho with Janet Leigh just a few rows behind me.
Did you really though?
Oh yeah, yeah. She was there. She sat through the whole thing. So we didn't know. We knew she was going to be there. I thought, she, and so she came out. She opened the film, and I remember her other daughter was there, who kind of looked like Jamie Leigh. At first, I was like, "Ooh, is that?" And then, so she opened the film, and then we didn't realize that she just sat a few rows behind us. And every once in a while, I turn around, you know, because there's like, "Oh, she's still there." And then during the intermission, so it was her, and then Bernard Herrmann's widow was there. So in the, during the intermission, they took some time, and in the lobby. They gave everybody a free poster, and you just went through and got them signed by Janet, and it was
that's
just
so cool.
It was
what
weird.
Venue was this at, Robert?
It was our favorite theater. It was called Cinema Center in Omaha, Nebraska. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
that is so cool. Yeah. Well, someday I hope a signed copy with Janet Leigh somehow makes its way back to you.
I have
they
a
are out there.
Yeah, I have a picture of it, so I can still. Hold that
oh,
picture.
Well, that's
yeah,
good.
But yeah, so, but anyway, it was a good night.
Not
so.
That you would take it out anyway, really.
No.
Like pass
no.
it around. Like, yeah. it's nice that. Can you guys get your greasy hands on this? Just, yeah, smudge that. But that is so cool. Yeah. Quick question. How often do you revisit any of the Psycho movies?
Psycho, it kind of
Have you seen them so much where it's like Friday the 13th, where you're like, you know everything. If it's on, I'll watch it.
Yeah, not to that much. So Psycho, every couple of years, I kind of give it a rewatch because it's just nice to see. So
the original.
I last rewatched it, when it was on 4K, when they released the 4K, because I wanted to see what it looked like. Psycho 2 and 3, a little bit more recently, too, when they released those on Blu-ray. And so I kind of wanted to give that another. So Psycho 4, I barely, every once in a while, every several years, I'm like, let me try to give it. And I'm like, it's okay. And then
it's okay.
Psycho 98 is kind of
it's a classic.
On me. Yeah, it's a.
Is it really?
It's a 98.
Are you warming up to it?
I'm slightly warming up to it because there's pieces that of it I like, and of course I went to all the the locations and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that I was still that.
I like that you covered it, even though you don't like it.
I don't hate it, but it's unnecessary, you know. But. It's not like
it wasn't. Nobody was asking for that.
No,
I mean, really.
Yeah, it wasn't like.
If you're gonna do a remake, do something completely different and new. And there's no need to make that film.
I remember the rumor, and this was kind of pre-internet days that and I was kind of maybe expecting this. There was a rumor floating around at the time that everything was exactly the same up until the shower scene, and then it went in a completely different direction. I thought, ooh, that's okay. That'll be kind of
that would have been interesting.
You know.
Yeah,
subversion of expectations. But no, it just kept.
That's what they should have done. Yeah. Was complete 180.
Yeah.
Those pre-internet days were the golden era of word of mouth. Like we've spoken about this before. Blair Witch Project. People were actually saying like this really happened, and they found the footage, and there was no way to verify that.
It was like it must.
It was like a golden they. I feel like they really missed out on opportunities with viral marketing back in like 96 to 99.
It was all the same except for let me get my Walkman. Like what?
Let me get. Hey, I had a Walkman and a Discman.
Well, yeah. So that
the Immaculate shows, Collection was in there, Robert.
There you go. So maybe that's what she was listening to as well. She was listening to her Madonna.
You gotta have Madonna.
Yeah.
That's the Gap? The clothing brand actually turned me on to the song Dress You Up in My Love. They use it in a commercial in the 90s.
And are you talking about Get Into the Groove?
No. Dress You Up. Is it Dress You Up in My Love?
Well, she made a commercial.
I dress You Up in My Love.
It could be, yeah. So maybe they use
they
that.
They use that in a Gap commercial.
Okay. I know they did Get Into the Groove.
It's like a catchy song.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, oh, that's Madonna. And
that's
I bought
Madonna.
I guess it was on, what, like a Virgin or something?
Yeah.
My discography is off with her.
Me too.
But I bought the album and I was like, oh, it's actually like fantastic songs besides the ones you hear on the radio.
Dress You Up is Dress You Up is longtime listener Nick's favorite Madonna song. So he got to
Nick,
see
you have good taste.
Yes, I brought him to a concert where she sang that song. Right next to
really?
Us. Yeah. You're right next suits, to
Are all his suits custom made in London?
Yes, but she changed the line.
To where the city she's playing in?
No, she didn't. It was a different line. And I kept saying London and she said something else. And I was like, what? I was like, she's not saying London. I kind of forgot what she was saying, but it was like
at
Milan
least she's
or
not
something
saying,
like that.
Yeah. All your suits are custom made in Cleveland. Oh, it's like, no, yeah. They're not.
They should have,
Does Madonna play dumps like Cleveland, or does she really only stick to like Chicago and LA and New York?
She has played her share of lesser cities. Not on
You're
this
very diplomatic. Tour, so, I just alienated anyone that listens to the show in Cleveland.
Because I think she played Oklahoma City or something like that at one point. It was just kind of like strange, you know. But
nice.
Yeah. But she needs to go where the people are. So.
Well, I feel the crystal ball in the next show is going to be a Madonna quiz for Robert.
And I will fail miserably.
No, Madonna tour quiz, because you've been to like every tour since like, what, 90?
2004, yeah. So
that's a lot. How many Madonna concerts have you been to in your life?
It's like 62 or 64 or something so far.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, something like that.
Wow.
Enough to put one kid through college.
Economically, statistically, of course.
Yeah.
But you will be seeing her in February, and I feel like that's because the last time you saw her was what, like 2016?
2019 in LA. Oh, right. I did six shows in LA at the at the Wiltern. Yeah.
You saw six at the Wiltern?
Yeah. That's where she
did
Madame
X. That's a
really
small theater too.
Yeah, what she was doing, that was her theater tour, was Madame X. So she did small, like she did the Chicago theater in Chicago. So it was up close and intimate. It was a weird one. She still went on late, but this time all phones were locked up, and everybody, celebrities included, everybody had their phone locked up. So there was nothing to do except talk to each other.
Talk
and half the people, and because most people use their phone as clocks, people had no idea what time it was.
And
it worked out for me because like sometimes celebrities were trapped and I just, it's like I went and talked to them, you know, because like what are they going to do? There's nowhere to go.
They can't. Oh, I got a call right now.
So I mean, that's right. I had a good conversation with Rob Lowe and
oh, it's so cool. Nick Andros, you mean?
I didn't even talk to him about the stand. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I met the real life Andros. I could have talked to him on and on and on about the stand, but no.
You didn't embarrass yourself like I did with Ed Harris, where I'm like, hey, I loved you in that 10-minute part you did in that 1994 miniseries.
Well, I talked to Gary Sinise about the stand and had him sign it. Nobody else brought anything from the stand for him to sign.
Did you really?
Yeah, I brought it. Had the
DVD. Wait, I didn't know this.
Yeah.
What happened?
Remember, he was at a special event that I got invited to.
Oh, right.
And I brought him the covey, the stand, and he said something. And this was still in COVID, so... He was kind of behind a rope, but he was super.
That
nice.
Is so cool, though.
Yeah,
I like him. He was actually the first celebrity I saw in L.A. when I moved here.
Yeah. And
at,
you talked about
Maggiano's.
Okay.
No, I said Lieutenant Dan or something stupid.
He's like,
I didn't want to bother him. He was at a restaurant, but we both walked out at the same time. I was like, Lieutenant Dan or something. But he was a real gentleman. He's a nice guy.
He is a nice guy, but now you could have been just shouting lines from the stand.
I know. Country don't mean dumb. All right. Finally, this segment is Robert's favorite, where we look at his wonderful work on SetJitter.com. Blind Man's Bluff. I love that you hate this segment.
I always forget about it for some reason. It's right there. And I was like, oh, yes. Yeah. So.
Well, we have to talk about it.
All right. Yes. Yes. Please
it's your
do.
Stuff.
It's always. Okay. I've been guessing pretty good lately. So.
You've been fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. This is from SetJitter.com. And the description Robert wrote is, I've been to several locations for this over the years, but just now getting around to posting them for some reason. Some of these shots were taken over a decade ago before I really got into screen matching. So could be better. I know. That's it. That's the description.
Did I just do this too?
It recently was posted.
Okay. Which it should be at the top of my mind. And I still... Nothing is
this
coming
was
to
random
mind.
Too. This is not because you just posted it.
Okay.
It just happened to be coincidentally that you did.
I know I just posted it, and for some reason I have no idea what it is, though, off the top of my head. So.
Hasta la vista, baby.
Terminator 2?
No, well, that's the Terminator.
Oh, the Terminator. Yeah, okay.
That is from Terminator 2, you're right.
Okay.
But this is a classic. Can we agree?
The Terminator is a classic, yes.
Yeah. And you did a great job. I was just here at the Griffith Observatory, and I thought about that when I was seeing your page. And
you didn't strip down nude in the back? And
I did. Did you? I did. There was a street performer up there, painted all gold in a director's chair, and people thought was a statue. Obviously, you and I would know he's not.
Yes.
But I give him a lot of credit, this guy. He was like, I've never seen a human this still. Like, he was true, true mime. But anyway, this page, this is Schwarzenegger in the buff. Oh,
yeah. So, and for fans, the back of, they've changed it a little bit over the years. So they had added some stairs, I think probably more for ADA rules, but yeah, so it's essentially still the same. So.
And this statue right here is where like the greats are, like Galileo and stuff.
Yep. Yep.
Which is always kind of cool, I thought.
And if you go to the next picture on that, I got criticized. Nope. I mean, the next picture of Griffith Park.
Oh.
I got criticized for using.
Oh, I remember.
Because the first one that was taken in 88. And I thought, well, this is more authentic, you know. You know,
this is
like 4 years after. And they're like, why are you doing old pictures? I'm like, it's almost screen matched. You know what I mean? Like,
pretty much.
And this is like a mere few years after, but they weren't too appreciative of that.
You shouldn't even respond if somebody criticizes, because it's so good and close. Like,
yeah,
where's the mark?
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. And then I could go on all day about
it. I should have turned the camera around, because that's when all the old stuff still existed, you know, where Bill Paxton was and they stole the clothes. But
yeah,
that's all
long
gone. Yeah.
That's all long gone. Anyway. This next shot is Fremont Avenue in Pasadena, which is a Caro's restaurant, which was Big Jeff's,
and it's not there for long. It's ready to be demolished. So,
really,
for apartments, and
I always
condos.
Forget.
Yeah,
she worked. That was the restaurant she worked at.
Correct. Yep.
I remember she was like knocking everything over, but I forgot that it was Big Jeff's. Okay, and that's going to be gone soon.
Yes, so that's already scheduled for demolition. Already closed, yeah, so.
Oh, I know this. I know where Victory Boulevard is. This is where Google it, kids, is in the description. I love that guy, not in the phone booth, but
hanging
outside.
That's the way it worked back then for phone booths, yeah. So, knocks this guy out for a phone book. And
Google it, kids.
And then later he gets his gun here, so Alamo.
This was always a cool scene.
Yeah.
It's true, Cameron, and 80s right there. This is where the car runs over the truck.
Yep, and so the reverse shots are still match up. So if you click the next, when he gets out of the car. So everything across the street is still there, except the actual...
And you got a blue vehicle.
This is what I do. I like, come on, people, let's line it up.
we need a blue one.
The first Sarah Connor's house is long gone and replaced with ugly apartments. So.
Oh, no.
And
gross.
Technoir, yeah.
I love the downtown 80s LA shots.
Yeah.
I really do. Like, they're just, they scream 80s, and they're just so great. They really do. And they're always crowded. Like, downtown LA is not a pedestrian friendly place.
No.
But in the 80s, they were.
Well, it's getting more, yeah.
It's on the uptick.
Yeah,
but
yeah. So I remember when I was taking these pictures of him going to Sarah Connor's, the real Sarah Connor's apartment. People were there like, what are you taking pictures? They had no idea that the Terminator was shot there.
Really?
Or the exteriors, yeah. So, but I think they shot
you enlightened them
somewhere else. Yeah, I did. So these aren't quite screen matching some of them, but this is underground LA, the different tunnels and lower Grand Avenue. So,
oh, it's so cool.
The Tiki Motel. So this is one of my favorite moments where I'm taking pictures. You've seen me do this. I call it stealth, where I'm taking pictures the whole time. Cameras around my neck. I'm like, and then the guy's like, can I help you? I'm like, I was just, and if I can take pictures, he's like, he called his manager for position to get permission. So I said, okay, I'll wait. And I'm just like turning around, taking all sorts of pictures. And he said, no, I'm like, all right, thank you.
That's so perfect.
Yeah. Now this has been completely changed, that it's now apartments. And so none of this looks the same. It's been all.
Oh, it's completely different.
Unfortunately.
Cyberdyne exterior. Unfortunately, it's no longer there. Cyberdyne exterior.
Yep. So this is downtown LA as well. So this is the police. I know there's if you saw Blue Steel, this is where he lands the helicopter. This is the police department on top of this building. So right there.
Yeah. That is so cool. Yeah.
Gas station.
Little Rock, California. I've never even heard of that.
It is way up there. So if you're in some desert. So yeah, not much to see here because that gas station's long gone, but you can kind of match up some of the mountains in the background. So,
and this is a matte painting.
Yeah, this is a matte painting, obviously. And so I don't even know if this is the actual street, but this is supposedly what she's supposed to be kind of driving down.
Oh, that's cool.
But if you hear the story that they had no permission to shoot that and they police came by and they said it was a student film and so forth. But for that scene. But yep. So
yeah. And this, of course, is Harold and Edna's.
Now this is common knowledge, but at the time I was the one that kind of discovered that that she makes a phone call on a deleted scene at Harold and Edna's.
You were the one that discovered this?
Yeah, because I recognized it immediately. And then people, and there's, if Brian's listening to this, there's somebody like, they need more proof that this is the same place. And they like literally, they in the deleted scene, they run by a sign that says Bouquet Falls, you know, and everything, which is right there. And but anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah. So
that is so cool. Here. You found it.
Yeah, there's another phone booth kind of on the side, but yeah, so.
And then Paul at Halloween Film Equation tracked down the police exterior located to a building at the Bethlehem Steel Plant, Vernon. With Bethlehem Steel Plants in Pennsylvania, too. I wonder if they're connected.
So, yeah. But yeah.
Nice shot, Robert. Nice shot. Thank you. This is a great page. Oh, here's Kyle you and the man. Corporal
Hicks. Man. Very serious, yeah. And I'm wearing my Terminator shirt. Yeah.
Now, how does Terminator rank the franchise? Are you a big fan? Is it like up there with Aliens for you?
It is not. I'm a Terminator 1 and 2 fan like everybody else. I actually appreciate 3 quite a bit.
Me too.
Probably more for the ending that is such a downbeat that I can't believe. Like, and then everything after that is just, you know.
I know. Yeah.
It's kind of, they keep retconning it, you know. It's like we don't need, you know, like
they've destroyed it.
Now this is the sequel to Terminator 2. And now, this is the sequel to, and it's like, you know, kind of like Texas Chainsaw keeps making a new sequel saying, no, wait, this is the one we wanted.
This is the one.
You
can only do that so much before it loses its punch.
Yeah.
But I will say, just to your point, Terminator 3, that ending where they're like, oh, it's a bunker for VIPs, and they see like the Cold War era technology and then the nukes. It's like the music, it's such a it's such an awesome ending. It's like haunting. So, it's beautiful.
So it's still I still hold that up, but then it's also that series that's kind of now ruined, you know, kind of like the Highlander. I love the original Highlander, but it's now ruined because of all the horrible sequels.
Beat it into the ground.
Yeah. And Terminator 2 still holds up. I mean, it's a kind of nonstop machine. It is probably a little bit too long, but there was nothing like it in the theater. So as you can may or may not imagine, opening night, I remember Terminator 2, we knew it was gonna be a big film, but really had no idea what we were in for.
I'm so jealous you got to see it.
And I remember opening it, I mean, being perplexed because at the time, anytime they went to CGI, you could tell because the grain of the film was a little bit different. And so
theatrical release.
Yeah. So anytime there's a CGI scene, you could always tell that there was some, you know, it's just it's kind of a lesser degradation. But what I couldn't tell is like I couldn't figure out how they did the scene where right at the end where Sarah Connor's like, John, whatever. And then there's a Sarah Connor behind her that they rack focus. And I was like, I couldn't figure out because I didn't know that Linda had a twin, and that's what they did in that scene. So and I was because I remember at the time I was like, that's too good that we weren't there yet
not 91
to be able to do that or blue screen or anything like that. I'm like I could not figure it out for the longest time, and I was like, oh, now it makes sense. But
that is so cool though. Wow. I'm jealous you got to see that theatrically. I remember when that came out, the marketing around it, and it was like revolutionary, the CGI. They were doing these things, and rightfully so.
Oh yeah, I remember the first time I was like, how did they do that? Or even, you know, when the security card, you know, loops up from the floor. I mean, that still holds up.
It does.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Terminator 2 is great. I do have the box set of the first three, I should say. They like packaged it a few years ago in a thing. And the extra footage and the making of and stuff are kind of pretty cool when you look back and you're wow, Cameron really was doing a lot of cutting edge shit in 91. Or 90 when he made it.
I have my Terminator 2 special edition Laserdisc, you know.
I feel like Robert's Vault Terminator is in the cards in the future.
Yeah, or the Laserdisc. I can pull those
out. The Laserdisc special connection.
All the special edition, because that's the only time you could have Aliens, the special edition, that in the Abyss. It was
you got it. I love it.
Yeah, so still have it.
I wonder how much Laserdisc cost today if you were to buy one. Are they like super expensive?
Probably.
They're rare.
Yeah, it kind of depends, and you got me thinking because.
Yeah, they're mid-range. It depends on what you're getting. Some of these alien ones are pretty pricey.
Yeah, yeah, if they're kind of special. I was looking up because I was like, what would the difference between... I think it was 93, Criterion Collection released Halloween on Laserdisc. First time, widescreen, and included TV scenes, which I'd never seen before,
except for a couple of Asian companies,
and had a commentary with Deborah Hill, John Carpenter, and Jamie Lee Curtis.
Oh, see, that's cool. That's what you
had to have it. So in 93 or whenever that was, 93 or 94, that was $100. So I'm not sure.
That's like $500 today.
Well, that's I'm not sure what $100 in 1993 versus what that means for right now. But and of course, when I was making $10 an hour or whatever it happened to be, it was an expense, you know, that I had to kind of
save. But you had to have it.
Well, yeah, and Halloween had not been seen in widescreen before. And there's things that I had never seen before in the widescreen as before.
Right.
And just to have, you know, commentary or, you know, people do, now it's kind of more common or kind of, I guess, less common since they've kind of stopped doing it. But to have actors and directors talking about the movie as you watch was something special. So
you're a true fan. You're a true fan. Yeah. I'm glad that you got those too.
Oh yeah.
Well, that was a great segment, and that was a great show. That'll be it for tonight, Robert. Unless you had anything else, sir.
I think that's it. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays to everyone listening, and Robert, a happy holidays to you, sir.
Said the night wind to the little land. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
Way up in the sky, little lamb. Do you see what I see?
Do you see what I see?
A star, dancing in the night, with a tail as big as a kite. With a tail as big as a kite. Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
Ringing through the sky, shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Do you hear what I hear?
A song, high above the tree, with a voice as big as the sea. With a voice as big as the sea. Said the shepherd boy to the mighty king, do you know what I know? In your palace warm, mighty king, do you know what I know? A child shivers in the cold, let us bring him silver and gold. Let us bring him silver and gold. Said the king to the people everywhere, listen to what I